All right, good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for taking your time joining this session on maximizing Windows 7 performance. Performance can, of course, be different depending on who you ask. It's different if you ask an information worker, or if you ask a hardcore gamer about performance. For a hardcore gamer, the video performance is probably the most important. And for an information worker, it's probably most important to get the work done for today without having the system becoming unresponsive. My name is Johan, and I will be your host for the next 75 minutes. I have been an IT guy since I was about 10, when I finally convinced my father to buy me a Commodore 64. And no one was more thrilled than me when I learned a few weeks ago that they are actually celebrating now the 30th anniversary and are re-releasing the C64 shelf, and they put a real PC in it, so emulating, of course, C64. So that's on my next shopping list. I just need to convince the family of the importance of that hardware. Anyway, we have three main sections in this presentation. We are going to learn how Windows 7 was designed to be performant. We will learn how to use inbox tools and downloadable tools to troubleshoot performance-related issues. And then finally, we'll dive into some deep tracing tools that allow us to do things we normally cannot troubleshoot. For example, when you log on to a machine, why do we have long logon times? When a machine boots, why does it take 3 minutes? We can't really log on and run a tool at that point, but there are tools available that can help us troubleshoot even scenarios like that. I love questions, so at any given time in the presentation, feel free to just raise your hand and ask them. If you don't want to raise your hand, you can also submit questions through Twitter. I'm monitoring that hashtag on this PC over here, so I should be able to catch at least a few of the questions. And the ones I don't have time to answer in the sessions, I will make sure to answer later today. Right. The key takeaways for this session is that performance obviously is critical. You will immediately hear from a user if he or she is not happy about the performance of their machines. You will hear if it takes long time to log on to them. And in the past, it has been, back in the XP days, we didn't really have any really good tools to do live production analysis of a system. But now we do. Both inbox tools and also the performance toolkit that you can download as part of the SDK for Windows 7. Now, in future releases of Windows, it will be built into the normal deployment tools, but this currently is something that you simply can download and use straight out of the box. Now, performance to me is responsiveness. I click something, I expect something to happen quite quickly. I don't want to have to wait for a document to load or whatever it is. An unresponsive system will, in general, lead to an unhappy user. And in this session, we will learn how to address those issues. Now, when we talk about performance, a machine is, of course, defined or built out of many different components. And each of them need to coexist within an application sharing or an application trying to access these components. They are limited, they are shared between applications, and it often takes only one really bad application to destroy the behavior for others. Luckily in Windows, they have built-in monitoring to try to detect that and try to divide resources between applications, but still, that's the bottom line. If you have one application that is really trashing your system, one service, one device driver, how many of you enjoyed the performance that Windows Vista brought with it? The fun part is that Windows Vista was actually quite performant, as long as you didn't load any device drivers in it. It took the vendors quite a while to write good device drivers for Windows Vista. It wasn't really until the Service Pack 2 frame, Service Pack 2 time frame, where Vista actually began to be a little bit performant. And that knowledge was taken into now to Windows 7, and Microsoft also did their part, removing some of the limitations that were in Vista. So together now we have a very good story. And you quickly see that Windows 7 is much more performant than Windows Vista was on the exact same hardware. But then it's also a question about hardware. What do you expect? Do you expect that a six-year-old machine will run Windows 7 beautifully with 1 gig of memory and a hard drive running on 5400 RPM? Maybe not. But I was talking, having breakfast with a former student this morning, and he's working for a somewhat large company. They took the decision last year to buy in solid-state drives and replacing the disks on every machine they had. 128 gig solid states for laptops and 160 for desktops. You can take a three-year-old laptop, go to Fry's, buy a solid-state drive, and it will outperform a brand new laptop that you bought yesterday that is running on a rotating disk. And they don't have to be that expensive either. I mean, if you buy smaller ones, they will still perform without that heavy load or heavy cost. And you can still have a very performant machine running a few days more, a few years more. On this laptop here, this one, where I have my demo environment, I'm running Servo 12 in the background, I'm running Hyper-V3, and I have two solid-state drives in this machine, 600 gig each. And that gives me the ability to run easily 10 virtual machines at the same time on an airplane for about 15 minutes. But it also has other positive side effects. If I do run many machines, this HP is becoming very hot. But it has a fan on the side, so if I place my coffee mug here, it will keep warm for at least an hour. And that's good. I'm also running what I call the carrot effect. I'm not kidding you. It's not the name of the feature, it's my name of the feature. This is a feature called deduplication, available in the file server in Windows 2012. So if I go to my file system here, I go to one of my drives where I have my VMs that I'm going to show you, and I do properties on this one, you can see that size of files compared with size on disk is different. But it allows you to store many, many VMs on a demo machine and have it still being performant even if you have smaller solid-state drives on it. Pretty cool stuff. Total sidebar. All right. In Windows 7, Microsoft spent some good time trying to figure out what they can remove to prevent standstills, processes hanging, buffers being overfull, and I would say they succeed pretty well. And fact is, Windows 7 is lying to you. If you do a file copy, you will see the new progress bar and you see the file copying taking place and you will see it's finishing. Do you think it's finished? No. It meant it finished copy to memory. And then for a few more seconds, it will continue to write to the drive. And Microsoft also did great improvements in terms of startup of a machine. Back in the XP days, when you start an XP machine, it will load drivers one by one by one by one in a serial order. We don't do that anymore. We run them in parallel. And we can actually see this when we're going to trace this later. We can see devices started at the same time. And that's why we can see better performance in Windows 7 booting. Now, already back in the Vista days, there were changes introduced to make Vista work with poor hardware. And those changes are back in Windows 7 as well, or continued into Windows 7. So we have ReadyBoost, allowing you to put in an external drive to compensate for the lack of memory, or an external USB stick, rather, to compensate for lack of memory. My take on this, if you don't have enough memory on the machine, don't run Windows 7 on it. Stop fiddling around with external stuff just because you didn't have that extra dollar to buy memory. Continue to run something else. We also have Superfetch in Windows. You know, when you start applications, Windows learns what applications you normally start along with the prefetch and loads them into memory the next time. Well, if you have a solid state drive, do you need that feature? No. So just go ahead and turn it off if you do have a solid state drive. Windows 7 tries to do stuff like this. For example, it tries to disable defrag if you have a solid state drive. But that if you deploy Windows 7 to that machine. If you just take a backup of the old one and just restore it to another one, it doesn't detect that. And sometimes even if you do deploy Windows 7 to an SSD, it doesn't detect it's an SSD. So you can actually go in and simply disable the defrag. There is no point of defragging an SSD drive. Also in Windows 7, like Vista, if you have a good graphics adapter, Windows 7 will offload work to the GPU that the normal CPU would otherwise do. So that will give you performance when we're drawing things on the screen, DirectX and Windows Presentation Foundation stuff, etc. You will also see in Windows 7 big improvements when you log into a machine. How many of you are using, have been using, redirected folders in Windows XP? And logging in and logging off is a good experience? Not necessary. If you have many files to copy, it will take some time. Now in Windows 7, that copying is being done in the background. We don't notice it. It's still happening, but we are still able to log on or log off that machine at the same time. Now, if you have a slow system, you will get notified. It could be an end user at your company. It could be the manager. It could be a friend who are asking you for help, why his or her machine is slow. And these requests will give or turn up in different forms. One of the nicer forms is this form. Someone actually asks you nicely, can you please help me out? I can't log in. It takes 15 minutes before I can start Outlook. Or it could be the other approach, which is not very uncommon, where someone very firmly asks you to help with something. Now, the tools that we can use are a bunch of tools that are included in Windows, and as I said before, additional tools that you can download. Common for most of these tools, they are using event tracing for Windows, foundation pieces in Windows to get the data, allowing you to find out why things go wrong. So let's start with actually looking at some of the inbox tools that you have available. So I'm back to my carrots again. And I will jump into one of my clients running Windows 7, in this case, Windows 7 Service Pack 1. First of all, I can start the normal task manager. It's been around for ages, showing one CPU and showing my processes that I have, and I can drill down into a process, and I can set priorities on processes and see if they're running, what type of level they're running. But as you can see here, I cannot set affinity. I cannot determine what CPU it's supposed to run on because I simply only have one CPU. But if I go to another client, another virtual machine, to which I've actually dedicated four logical CPUs, as you can see here, I can go to a process, I can right-click, and I can actually set the affinity for that process. And if I get Sumit in place, Sumit is the utility that allow people in the cheap seats to see well. if I can boot it. This is how you end a process in Windows. This is how you start it again to get it to work. Anyway, I can right-click, I can set affinity, and I can select now my CPU. This can be useful to know if you try to get a game going, an old game going, into Windows 7. That was designed for one CPU. I'm just saying. StarCraft 1. I love that game. We also have performance tools. So if I start up Perfmon, this has been around since NT like 3.1 or 3.5 possibly. So I can go into my performance monitor and I can start adding components. I can view it in different modes. I can report mode or a histogram or however I would like to see this information. But what most people don't know is that this utility has actually a few command line options to it. The reason most people don't know it is because it's not documented in the default help file, but in the updated one that is available on TechNet. And to learn the command line switches, you can actually try to run Perfmon, and of course, you would obviously run dash question mark to get the command line switches, and unfortunately, that parameter is not correct. So you really have to either know them or find out in other way, and I will show you other way shortly. But for example, I can run it with a report switch, which will now generate a report of my system for 60 minutes or 60 seconds and allow me to drill down into this report to receive information about what's going on right now. And as we will see shortly, it actually gives you additional information as well in order that can help us troubleshoot the system. I can also run it /sys, which will stand up or start a standalone version of the performance monitor. And I can run it /rel, which is giving me the reliability history of the machine, same as if you go into the start menu. But go back to my report here. It's still collecting data, but it should be done shortly. 60 seconds is still 60 seconds. Or I can show you another cool switch, comp, meaning compare. You will get additional menus in Performance Monitor if you add that. You will get the compare menu item that you normally do not have in the normal Performance Monitor. Anyway, my report is now back, and I can start to drill down into this report to see information about my machine. And you see you get quite detailed information that you can drill down into. For example, this one. Which files are currently causing the most disk IOs, giving me bad performance? So you can drill down into all these information to try to figure out why something goes wrong or why something is slow on the system. Here is the hot files I was talking about. This is where you can get an analysis of what files are being currently used on my system the most, and also can help you troubleshoot stuff. If I go back to Performance Monitor, I can start another one. So I now have two running, but I will add a performance counter from another PC to this one. So I will add a performance counter from PC 05. PC 05, are you running? Yes, you are. There we go. Can't have backslashes in the name. Should have told me. So now I'm having this one running on PC 05. and I'm having the other one running my local machine, and now I can say snap, so they will be aligned on top of each other. And then I can set the transparency level, so I can actually now see the two machines side by side, what's going on. This could be useful if you have one machine that is working actually quite well, and one sort of identical machine that doesn't perform very well. And then you can start adding in counters that allow you to see them at the same time and see how they perform. So, quite nifty stuff. This thing I was showing you before, the reliability monitor, is extremely useful. This will show you how the system has behaved since you deployed it. Whatever it has done, in this case it did a driver installation. On this date it did another driver installation. And on this date it installed a few applications and a few more drivers. So when a user comes to you and says, my machine is slow, and you say, what did you do with it? Nothing. And then you go back in here and you see that they just popped in yesterday the entire DVD that followed with the PC Home magazine, and they installed every software they found on it, on the machine. But this could also be if you do have an issue with performance, say you're running a line of business application, it's not performing well. You see crashes or you simply see performer-related errors in here. Well, if you get an upgrade from the vendor and install it, you can now see over time if this actually makes some sense or if it did help. If I show you a screenshot from a more live system, we can actually see that we also see all different kinds of errors and warnings that happens over time that can, again, help us troubleshoot. The only downside of this one is you cannot really run this one remotely in this UI. But everything now, these days, is PowerShell. And of course, you can retrieve the same information through PowerShell. So it's available, so you can do your own good scripts to test that. Then we have non-inbox tools. They are Microsoft tools. They didn't used to be Microsoft tools. They used to be sysinternals and winternals tools. And for a long while, these were the best tools available to troubleshoot stuff in Windows. FileMon and Regmon and all those nifty tools. And of course, Microsoft realized they were good, so they bought the company. So now you can download these tools from Microsoft. And the tools that are most useful for performance-related issues are the friends Process Monitor and Process Explorer. So if I go back to my demo machine, and again, I start off Perfmon, so I have something running, and then I can go into my sysinternals folder, and I can kick off Process Explorer, for example. Process Explorer will give you more detailed information about all processes running. And if I, for example, start another process, like Notepad, you can see it's going to be green down here, showing me that a process was starting. And if I close Notepad again, it will shortly turn red, showing me that the process was ended. Normally, this goes very quick, so you might miss processes starting and ending. But what you can do in here is that you can set, let me see where the update speed, here we go. How often it refreshes. And I set mine to 5 seconds, allowing me to very quickly find new processes. But this is also where I can go to a process. For example, I have my, let me see what we have here. I have my Config Manager client running. It's a Config Manager 2012 client. If I go to properties, I can see that this one is actually listening over the red network right now. Most processes won't, but this one does. So you can have information about that. You can see the current threads this process is using or spawning. you can see information about everything that is process related, and you can also go with performance to see information about this process and stand alone. But if I go back to my Perfmon here, my Perfmon process, if you want to peek inside an executable, since internals all year long had a utility called strings, it's built into Process Explorer, so I can go to strings, and it will give me all the ASCII information it can find in that file. And if I drill down into that one, I will actually start learning all these hidden switches that Perfmon had. So if you're trying to figure out command line things or undocumented solutions, you can use this utility to find out, all right, could there be another switch? I wonder what this switch will do if I start the application with it. Total sidebar, but it's fun stuff. Then we also have Process Monitor. And Process Monitor will show you everything that, by default, everything does in your system. But that doesn't really help if you want to troubleshoot a specific application that is not performing very well. So when you start Process Monitor, you have the option of selecting a filter. And that filter can be a lot of things. In this case, I took the process name, and I told it to be NotepadXE. So now, if I start monitoring, it will show me nothing until I actually start this Notepad application. And if I do things in Notepad, for example, changing a setting and changing it back again, I did not do anything with the lights, I promise you. Process Monitor will now have monitored everything that Notepad did in my system. So for example, if I search for times in this case, I can see that Notepad apparently was reading the times typeface, not surprisingly. And eventually, when I close Notepad in the very end here, on the trace, it's loading times, additional times. That's funny. It's loading times many. All right. And eventually we will see it's actually querying the registry for information as well. Here we go. You can see it wrote something back to the registry, and if you look in the detailed information, you can see it's actually wrote down times. That's where Notepad is storing settings in the systems. So how can we use this information to troubleshoot stuff? Well, for example, we can see if an application is trying to reach a remote location that cannot find, or if it's trying to access files it cannot find. You will get either information like name not found or path not found. And that can also give you clues why an application takes a long time to start. It's reaching out to resources it cannot find. But without utilities like this, it's more or less impossible to find out. Okay. So the question is, can I run these utilities off of a flash drive? Yes, they do not have to be installed. It's just an executable file. So that's no problem. Good question. Sorry? Oh, yeah. The comment from the gentleman in the front row, you can also run them live from the website, live.sysinternals.com, and then the name of the utility. That's also useful if you have internet access. Okay. You have an image, and that's good. I don't, but all right. I can turn my head or try to see if I can get the source back. DVI active, yeah. Good, but I don't have an image. All right. I will fix this problem. I will load the PowerPoint over here as well so I can see what's going on too. Troubleshooting, yeah. What I've learned over the years is that as long as you fix it in the end, you're sort of forgiven. Because that's what we do all day. We troubleshoot. At least this year I decided to not accidentally pull out my power cord so my laptop didn't die in the middle of the session. Try that before. All right, here we go. Downloadable in the SDK is the Performance Toolkit, a toolkit that has been available since the Windows Vista timeframe, because this utility was the utility that Microsoft initially used when they started to try to figure out why things were the way they were in Windows Vista. So every developer and every driver developer had to use these tools to try to figure out how to get more performance out of the system. And you can also use this tool even for Windows Vista, of course, but you cannot use this tool for Windows XP. You can read the reports on XP, but you cannot run it on XP because XP doesn't have the event tracing mechanisms that are required to use these tools. Now, the tool set that you download contains of a bunch of tools, and I have highlighted five of the most commonly used ones. And the three that we are going to focus in this session are the first three. So, XPerf is a command line utility that will activate tracing. XPerf View is the utility we will look and use to view the trace and analyze the trace that we get back. An XBoot Manager is a utility that we can use to troubleshoot and start tracings when we start or restart the machine or shut down the machine or resume from hibernation or go into hibernation. So if you have a laptop that is taking just a very long time to resume from hibernation, this is a utility you can use to troubleshoot things like that. The other two are more developer-type tools, and they're basically used to convert the data into different formats when you review the information. Okay, let's head back to my demo again. Now, on this machine I have captured the SDK ISO. So if I go to the setup folder, you will find there are a few folders related to Performance Toolkit, and obviously you will have one for each architecture. The one I'm using right now is the AMD 64 because I'm running a 64-bit version of Windows. Once I have installed this MSI on a machine, it will end up in Program Files, Windows Performance Toolkit, and you get a bunch of files in that folder. Once this is installed once, you can simply copy this folder to another machine if you need to run the trace on another machine. In fact, the only tool to need to kick off a trace is the XPerf utility and the perf control DLL. Those two together will allow you to start a trace or simply copy the folder. It's not that big. It's 26 megs. And if you don't have 26 megs left on a machine, you should probably not be running Windows 7 on it. Okay. Now, the XPerf utility, again, is the one that starts the trace. So I'm going to start a command prompt, and I'm going to kick off XPerf. And when I do, I can, for example, type in dash profiles, because XPerf comes with a pre-made set of traces that you can run. And by running profiles, you get the name of these traces. And you get an explanation in the right-hand corner here. What this information gives you is, for example, there is a trace named perf general profiles in sequential file, something like that. I'm from Sweden. English is not my native language. Like you didn't know that until now. This profile will make sure that capture is stored, the trace is stored in the file system. And that could be useful if you try to capture information that lives in memory. But if you're troubleshooting disk IOs, it's not very smart to store the trace on the file system that we are troubleshooting. For that, it could actually be better to store it in memory. So I will select the in buffer profile instead of the file one. So I'm going to start a trace. I will kick off xperf. And I did not copy that one. I should do that. I don't have to type so much. Copying, run xperf, and I will start a trace using that profile. So I will do xperf start, and I will simply kick off the process. And now tracing is starting. So now I can do stuff on my machine. I can go into the Windows performance folder, and I can run any of the movies that Microsoft provides in there. These are the movies that Microsoft's WinSat is using when trying to figure out if your machine is good on encoding or not. We'll give you an index score, for example, on the index list in system properties. I can kick off Internet Explorer. I'm just starting processes here. And I can start Microsoft Paint. And I can write or draw for you a database. A database is supposed to look like this. Database. And I have done something on my machine. Then what I can do is I can stop the trace, and I can make sure it's being captured to a file. So I'll run the same command, but I will change shift start to stop. And I will type in a file name where I want this trace to be. So demo teched05.etl, which is the name of the file. And now the trace will stop, and it will record everything I did into that file, or in fact, the entire system, according to the profile, into that file. They will give you a good warning, though. This file may contain personally identifiable information, blah, so meaning if you did something you're not supposed to do at work, don't send this file away. Okay. I'm not mentioning playing any games. All right. Then I can use xperf to view this utility, or view this log file, so I can run xperf, and I can do the name of the file. And it will actually not open in xperf. It will open up in xperf view. For security reasons, you cannot run this elevated. Are you sure you want to run it unelevated? Yes, thank you. And now we have detailed information about my system in that trace. So I will see all my CPUs, I will see all my processes, and of course I can filter down and select either none or select them all or a few of them. I can highlight the section, I can right-click, I can say zoom to selection, I can get more details. I can unzoom again, go back. I can overlay, so I can select the CPU graph, and I can say overlay with, for example, disk I/O. So I get an idea, how was my hard drive performing, or what was my hard drive doing when the CPU spiked? Could there be a relationship? I can also get some detailed information about the system configuration here. So I will get information about the machine, the current trace I'm using right now, storage information, display information, networking information, services running, IRQs being used currently, and plug-and-play ID devices of my system. So I get a pretty good knowledge and can learn about my system here. But if I go down here, this is actually where I will now see what I did in my system. So apparently I did start XPerf, and after a while I started the media player, and over here I started Internet Explorer, and then apparently I was doing something with Microsoft Paint, and then I ended that, and this simply allows us to see what's going on in the system. I can also drill down to, for example, my drives. Let me see where my disk was. Disk, and I can do a summary table, or I can do a detailed graph. It will give me an overview of my disk, the sectors on my drive, and what processes that were running and using what sectors on the drive. And I mean, this is pretty good, because you can see most of my applications or processes that I run on this machine were using the same sectors. Now, a solid-state drive, this doesn't really matter. But if you're running on spindles, this does matter, especially if you're running servers, because they have apps too, and they run on spindles. But you can see if processes are currently jumping around, forcing the disk drive to do additional seeks, which is causing bad performance. But this is how we can figure out things like that. You also get additional information of the drive. For example, is write caching enabled? If you have a drive or a controller that supports that. So again, seeing additional info about this. You can also export that information in the ETL file into a text file. So you can again run XPerf. And as input, you will take the trace I had. And as output, you simply type in a new file name, .csv, a comma-separated text file. And it will now export this text file, or ETL file, into a text file. When it's done, we will have a large text file. Do not open this text file in Notepad, because open a 300 meg text file in Notepad is going to make Notepad upset. But at least we can type information from it. And pipe it to the more command. So now we can at least see content in it. So you can very well import and export information like this into whatever system you like to review the information in. But for most part, the XPerf utility is where you want to view information. Now, how does Performance Toolkit pull this stuff off? And by the way, I still don't have a screen there, so I will go back in here and switch the slide as well. Should have like a dual thing here. In Windows, as I said before, there is an event tracing mechanism. That's the component responsible for monitoring and doing the recording. But what we do is that we start running the collection normally into a memory buffer by starting different the XPerf command line or XPerf tool. And then by using different providers, as I showed you in the list, we control what we are monitoring. For example, there was a special profile for Internet Explorer, and I was showing you the general profile. And you can actually, if you're a hardcore developer, you can develop your own providers and do stuff with it. Then eventually, we start the logging session. And as you can see here, we're using the XPerf to control that. And then eventually, we will stop the trace. And at that point, Windows will start inject additional information into the trace. For example, if you had a process that was using the network card, it will also inject network information into the trace so that you have the whole picture in that ETL file, and that's also why it grows that big. And once we have that trace together with the additional data from the system, well, we have something that we can analyze with different types of tools, or we can, as I showed you, export them into various other files for additional review or additional reports. So, you don't need to be worried to start this off. It will not kill your system. It's simply a monitoring tool that is relatively lightweight, but it's not intended to be a long-term analysis. I mean, how long did I run my session here when I did my trace? Not very long, and I don't remember the size of the trace, but it was 40 megs for about 1 minute. You don't run this over a few weeks. It will simply generate too much data. This is for short-term analysis. Again, this is tools to do live analysis of a running system. If you do need additional information about this event tracing mechanism, you have a bunch of documents available on MSDN. But for most part, as an IT pro, which I expect most of you are, we can simply work with the tools as they are. We don't need to be a developer. We do not need to develop additional stuff. We will use them for troubleshooting. So with that, I'm going to show you how we can capture information during a reboot. For example, again, to troubleshoot why a machine takes a long time to boot, or even more commonly, why does it take so long time to log in to a machine? I would bet most of you at some point in your career got the question, why does it take a long time to log in? This, again, is a utility that can help us do that. So we flip back to my demo environment. And I will go back to my folder here. And I will run the XBoot manager rather than the XPerf utility. And when I run this one, I can simply specify what type of boot behavior I would like to monitor. So in this case, I will monitor a boot. So I will say trace, and I will say boot. And now, no surprisingly, it will reboot the machine. It doesn't give you much of a warning, but it will reboot your machine. Or in this case, it's actually rebooting a virtual machine, so you can see it's starting, and as soon as it's starting, I will remote into it again. It's difficult to use remote desktop when the machine is, well, not running. It's coming. And it will also now continue this trace for another 2 minutes. Because, as I told you, Windows, when you did file copying, Windows lied to you. Windows also lies to you when you log in. If you even remotely think that Windows is done with its processes, just because you logged in, you are not entirely on the right track here. It's actually doing stuff in the background. But I will click finish here so we don't have to wait. And now I will have a trace in this location. Program files, etc. And it will now close the session. In the meantime, I can go into that folder. Just checking it's done, it's done. And I can find my boot. So this was the actual boot trace. and I open it up in XPerf by actually double-clicking on it. I could type in XPerf and the name as well. So now you can see what my machine did during the reboot. And the most interesting parts, I think, are related to disks, disk I/O, how much does it read from my drive and when, but also what was going on in my system at this point. For example, you can see here that, if you let me just start zooming again, didn't really survive the reboot. You can see that here is the search indexer kicking in, and you also have additional processes down here where you will see all your services and device driver type of information kicking in. But this was a VM, so it wasn't really doing much. So how about looking for a trace that actually contains a real system? So this is a live machine I've been capturing. Wrong utility, wrong machine. Here we go. Let me see if that's the right trace. No, it wasn't. This one, you can see it's slightly larger, like 5 times larger. So this was from my own machine. And I apologize if there are any information in this trace that is not supposed to be here. Again, autorun is kicking in and do things in Windows. If I drill down deeper, you can see additional components starting up. Of course, the Steam client service is extremely important. Since I'm a big fan of Skyrim, you sort of need to have that. But in this case, you can actually see that Windows is doing, I'm running an HP, it's using the HP quick launch buttons, whatever service, and then Skype update is kicking in and doing things, and again, the Adobe Flash update. But I mean, without tools like this, how would you know what Windows is actually doing and how long time it will take? And sometimes you will see a few devices simply taking a really long time to load. And if you see this, you can quickly locate the service or the device, and you can check the vendor's website. Is there an update available for me? And I can try that one and see if it helps. Yes, sir?
Why does nothing between 40 and 130?
So the question is, why does nothing occur here? Because that information is from an era where we don't have information about the processes. Right now, it's when the kernel actually does additional things on it. Exactly in the background what's going on in this time frame, I don't really know, but the other parts I do know. I do get some additional information over here in the checkpoints, etc., but we can enable deeper logging, so we can also get the kernel events taking place in the current white space area. So this was depending on the profile I was using when I did my trace. Here we go. So that was the boot tracing. And this can, for example, help me, as you can see, find out processes that are taking place during a boot. one of the most critical things we already discussed, and that the disk I/O. Again, buying solid state drives is probably one of the smartest things you can ever do. So I think there is a Fry's here in Orlando. I remember being at one. And for people outside America, Fry's is like, if you think of the Matrix movie, the first one, when Neo asks for guns, and suddenly there are like aisles of guns appearing, that's Fry's, but with hard drives and other computer components. It's like IKEA, but computer stuff. I mean, you don't go to the hard drive session, you go to the hard drive aisle, and you talk to 4 to 5 people working there with hard drives. Anyway, Windows 7 likes this. Upcoming Windows versions that we can't talk about also likes this. Now, of course, Windows 8 will benefit from this too. Memory is second, disk is actually first. You will see a vast improvement. And no, I do not have stocks in Seagate or any of the others, but maybe I should. Maybe I should. Then we have another thing that you might run into, and that is you have a hardware device not performing as you expected. And this was actually a real-world case where during the beta development of Windows, there was a particular mouse driver version of that driver that caused the mouse driver to stutter. But at that point, we really didn't know that. We just noticed that when we tried to move the mouse off the screen, it stuttered. Just didn't have that smooth and fluid experience that we wanted. So how could we troubleshoot something like that? Well, we started a trace. And let me jump to my demo machine. Here we go. So this is the trace. And as you can see, the CPU wasn't doing much on the machine. The states was doing much, but I mean, idle state doesn't give us much information. The disk wasn't performing very much either, especially not all the time. We didn't have many processes running either. And the interrupted CPU was, 1%. That's nothing. Every hardware interrupts the CPU. That's no biggie. So we basically had no information in the trace that could help us locate this. But there is additional bands that you can enable in the trace. So if you click this one down here, you can expand the flyout, and for example, you can select defer procedure calls, the interrupts that a device driver does to Windows to get CPU cycles to do its things. And now, when I enable that one, here we go. This is not very nice. We can see that the hardware was actually pegging the CPU constantly on our system. And if I select a section in here, I select a few seconds, 13, and I right-click and do a summary, I will actually get the time from the device driver that was consuming quite many resources compared with all the other device drivers. I did change the name here to protect the innocent. But they are known for intelligent mices. But again, how would you troubleshoot things like this without having these tools available? More or less impossible. So the question is, wouldn't I be able to do similar things with, you know, Task Manager and equivalent tools? You don't get the rich data back from these tools that you get with the trace. You get so much more information in that trace, information that these tools will never, ever see. You can still see some of the processes, but for example, the thing I did with the reboot, you can't do with any of those tools because they need to, you know, be running. But this is something that's quickly available. It's a free download, it doesn't cost you anything, it can help you troubleshoot performance-related issues. So by that, I have a few more words for you, and that is try to remember to fill in the eval form, and as always, be honest but gentle, and thank you for taking your time. Have a great tech ed.